This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Usually every time he finished a song, he'd get on a payphone wherever he was in the country and call me and wake me up. And so, like, he laid the phone down and started playing his guitar, you know? And that's how I heard this song the first time. I always thought this was a real pretty one. It's called My Old Man.
Make mistakes like that, and look what's happened. Berisha, inside 40 seconds, it's an error which Michael Keane has to deal with and England have to come back from.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com, and joining me for what is just a bit of a catch-up, because it's been a while, Mr. Chris Bird, welcome
Hello.
Back.
Hello.
Welcome back after the international break.
Thank you.
It's actually been, a couple of weeks since we've actually recorded?
I think so, yeah.
Because when we recorded episode 84, it actually, I put it out pretty much a week after we recorded it, so, because I went away. This isn't a regular show, so if you're tuning in for the first time, I suggest you go back to episode 84 for a taste of what it's normally like. This is more just catching up, getting us up to speed before we get into the West Ham game after the international break. So we'll just discuss briefly a few of the topics that have sprouted over the last couple of weeks. Kicking off, I think, with Mings and England. Didn't actually start, but I think we mentioned on the show that this would probably be a case of being drip fed into the squad just to get a taste of what it was like. But I'm assuming you saw what happened in the England game, and I think there's definitely a potential opportunity for him there, isn't there?
I think so. In terms of where England lack at the back, in terms of, a natural left-footed player, he's obviously a, physical presence, a good athlete and all that, but as far as, Southgate wants to play out from the back, but he doesn't seem to have a natural left-footer, and Keane and Maguire especially look dreadful on the ball.
The
first goal is just like, what?
Keane's had a shocker there, hasn't he?
Dreadful.
And I think Mings is better than Maguire. I don't know if you're allowed to say that out loud.
Yeah, but, you are. I mean, if you're not allowed to say that, I'll tell you what you can say, that Man United have had their pants pulled down royally, haven't they, there? 70 million quid, come off it. Jesus.
Yeah, I think
Mings
he
looks
got famous.
Like a bargain, doesn't he, in comparison at the moment?
I mean, Maguire's all right, but his value probably went up just because of that meme that keeps circulated where he's kind of leaning on the side there in his England kit talking to his girlfriend.
You don't need to spend 70 million on a lad, though, do you?
No, exactly.
You kind of prefer a lad that can actually pass the ball a bit.
But I think, while we're speaking about England, I think they're pretty much coasting through. I can't see the checks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of those.
Kosovo doing anything there?
No, I think the Kosovo trip will be a tricky one, but it was a strange game, really, because they breezed through the Bulgaria one like a training exercise, and then the Kosovo one was just a bit of a strange start. But once they were, was it 5-1 up at half time, and then you thought this will just be a boring second half, and they just switched off. It was a very sort of sloppy performance, and defensively, I thought England were pretty poor throughout, and Kosovo were quite plucky, as they say, but just so naive at the back. You know, every time England had the ball, you thought they were going to score, and probably should have scored a couple more, really. Obviously, you know, Kane misses his penalty, and Sterling misses an absolute sitter.
Who's that number 14 who scored the first two goals for Kosovo? Berisha. Considering Villa's shortfall up front, I thought I quite like the look of old Valen Berisha. I think he plays for Lazio at the moment, doesn't he?
Took both of them really well as well. They're cracking finishes. It's one of those strange games where, you know, Pickford didn't actually have very much to do other than pick the ball out of his net three times.
Hasn't he played for, I think he's played for Norway. I think he was born in Sweden. He's played for Norway, if I'm not mistaken. And now he plays for Kosovo. So work that one out.
Strange upgrade. But they did play some surprisingly good football. I didn't really know what to expect from them, to be brutally honest, but they were really technically quite a good side.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as traditionally as teams, you know, from the area, I mean, you know, going back to the old Yugoslavian team, always have been technically very good and potentially should have won more because they were technically really good. They were used to be like the Brazilians of Europe, but just their temperament always seemed to let them down. They weren't very good at toughing it out. But yeah, he actually spent time, apparently, on trial at Villa.
Who hasn't, though?
The more you look into this player, Berisha, who scored the first two goals for Kosovo, the more interest. I think they should do a film about him because he seems
They'll
to be...
They'll have Dan Walker over there next.
Quite a fascinating story, considering... Yeah, he's played over 40 appearances for various Norwegian age-specific sides. You know, we're talking about under-21s, etc. So I can't understand how he switched to Kosovo, got away with it. I don't know how he's managed to switch from Norwegian to Kosovo, having been born in Malmo in Sweden and also trialled at Villa. He would be actually, judging from his performance against England, he'd be quite useful at the moment as an option. I think he's kind of a midfielder for Lazio. He'd be useful considering the lack of depth Villa have got up front. Anyway, let's move on from that. But yeah, Mings, I think... there is a real potential there because, you know, Stones hasn't actually been 100% on the money for England. I mean, he made a few gaffes in the European Nations games, and obviously Keane and Maguire far from, let's say, solid. So every chance for Mings. I think he's just got to keep up the performances for Villa, and the next international break next month, he might be in for a show.
Yeah, if not in the competitives, I think in the next friendly, you'll definitely see him get a run out.
Yeah, it was a bit like Southgate when he came out of nowhere, because obviously he came to Villa as a midfielder for Palace, and Brian Little switched him to centre back, and he was. It was just at the right time for England, because England didn't have, they were looking for somebody who was a bit more, let's say, more of a ball player. And there weren't actually a queue of such players. So I think Mings might have that similar situation where he can, even though, you know, normally it's like top six teams that always garner favour, it might be a similar thing to Southgate where he just, you know, it just stands out as a no-brainer to
I think he's an obvious choice to have in a squad, isn't he? Just because he's the left-footed option.
Yeah. One man who may or may not be in the next England squad, Mr. Jack Grealish, turned 24 during the international break, did an interview with The Athletic, which is obviously this American setup where basically it's behind a paywall, but they've spent a lot of money culling a lot of journalists from different nationals and local newspapers. And one of the Birmingham Mail's chaps has gone there. Mr. Evans, Greg Evans, interviewed Mr. Grealish. Some interesting things in the interview, basically talking about his time in the Championship and how he's been a bit of a marked man. But, I mean, from the off, as we've said on this show, he hasn't really hit the ground running this time round in the Premier League, has he? And he's admitted it himself. He said he's not really taken enough risks so far, to quote him. I need to start doing it again. That's when I've been at my best, playing off the cuff with freedom and not thinking too much, but of course in the right areas and at the right time.
That's the big thing, isn't it? I think most pundits, most fans, everyone would say the same, is that Villa need to get Grealish 10, 15 yards at least further up the field and influencing the game in the right point. There's no point in having him taking the ball off the centre-back.
We've also discussed the possibility of Nakamba, once he's up to speed, potentially playing alongside Luiz against, let's say, the top four teams when we need, like, let's say, to reinforce that midfield and probably put two defensive midfielders in there. And in terms of Grealish, that would probably leave him going out on the left side. And he's actually said, some people say I should be a left winger. No thanks, I hate that position. I'm a number eight. I'll play 10 if asked, but I haven't played there for 3 years. So he sees himself as the man in the middle, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, he floats around, doesn't he? He's kind of like, you know, that kind of Gascoigne type player where he just influences the game wherever he can.
You said you would prefer him playing in that number 10 position.
Yeah, if you were going to play a two, I'd get him as far up the field as you can, really. Knowing that McGinn is good at sort of driving you from deep anyway, you'd get Grealish as far up the field and keep him up there rather than, you know, it shouldn't necessarily be his job to take the ball off the centre backs. That should be Nakamba or Luiz or Hourihane or whoever. And I think it would potentially getting him closer to Wesley or whoever that focal point of the attack is would probably help the team.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting in the next batch of games before the next international break, because Smith's had his men, his forward men, he's had a chance to do a lot of work with them during the international break. So this will obviously potentially benefit Grealish, and hopefully we'll see a bit more snap in his play in the upcoming games. I thought it's quite funny what he said about Will Vokes.
Yeah, trying to woo him.
So I think he's now Cardiff, but I think he was in Rotherham, wasn't he, last season? When Grealish was on about being a marked man and actually keeping his cool over the heavy challenges, and he said, "What does make me angry is when players do things off the ball. Will Vokes kept telling me I was sexy. It happened a few times. Weird. I was actually warned about him. Apparently he'd done something similar to Mason Mount at Derby the week before. He tried the off-the-ball stuff, like standing on my toes. He didn't do it hard, but he was just trying to put me off." Not exactly Vinnie Jones on Paul Gascoigne routine, where obviously he was grabbing his bollocks at any opportunity. But it's an old trick, isn't it? You put your hard man on the guy that the play flows through, which obviously in our case is Grealish. So he's obviously going to be, they're going to try to put him off. But he seems to relish that challenge.
He likes the rough and tumble, doesn't he? He seems to relish getting a good kick in, and he always gets back up with a smile on his face and just goes at it again, which is great to see, because I think when he was, certainly when he first came into the team, he was a lot more sort of reactive and he'd get pissed off. Now I think he's obviously physically more developed and he relishes the challenge.
Yeah, and he says certain players just watch a little bit of football, but he said he pretty much watches everything.
You see that on his Instagram, don't you? All you see him is him just watching random games of football. Like, you'll have him like bantering John McGinn as he's watching St Mirren or any old crap. He probably watches like non-league football on a Friday night.
It's always good to be a student of the game.
Well, it's a nice novelty to know he's staying in and behaving himself as well.
Yeah. Ooh. Or is he? Maybe he's paying somebody just to do that Instagram account, sitting on
what
his
couch. What a
great
job that is. I mean, I'm just saying, I've never seen Dan Rogers and Jack Grealish in the room at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Very good point.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Point. The only other thing, there was an interview of Roberto Di Matteo. I didn't actually read it because I'm not that bothered, but there was a quote about Roberto Di Matteo on his time at Villa, and he said, "I was pissed off when it ended at Villa. We spoke about a project and agreed that the first season was going to be tough. The playoffs were the aim and I believe we would have got there." Obviously, hindsight is a wonderful thing. I think with Matteo, I was surprised, considering Nigel Pearson, they'd done the due diligence on him and he was basically in until Dr. Tony suddenly came on the scene. The fact that they dismissed all that homework on Pearson to get their own man in Di Matteo, I was surprised they didn't give him that long.
And they clearly, they backed him, didn't they, as well? Which was strange. They backed him financially and then just didn't give him any time.
I mean, to caveat that, I mean, you know, wrote about it enough on the site that I wasn't convinced by Di Matteo from day dot.
I don't think many were, to be honest. It was a strange one.
I think it was a vanity.
Well, it was a he's signing. Won the Champions League and whatever else, but in terms of there was no indication that he was going to do a good job at Villa.
The main stat I dug out was the fact that he'd never completed a second season at any team as a manager.
And then you look back at the spending he did and the guys he brought in, and Barchester, the rest of them were generally a disaster. I mean, Codger that first season you'd say was a success, but has since faded, but he's probably paid his fee just about. But in terms of like McCormack, Tish Bowler and all these guys, Elphick to a certain extent, it wasn't a good look.
Yeah, speaking of Chester and Codger, I mean, let's have a look at the Hammers game. I mean, we'll do something of a half-assed preview. We're not going to go into it too deep because it's almost a waste of time doing preview shows as a podcast, because by the time they're up a couple of days, they're out of date and, you know, they're irrelevant pretty quickly. But we'll talk about it in the... I mean, we mentioned Codger and Chester there, and they obviously came out of Dean Smith's press conference with updates on both of those players. Codger, we obviously knew, was just about to return, but then had a bit of a run-in with Marvellous Nakamba in training, not a face-to-face fight, just a clash, and he fractured his cheekbones, so it looks like he's out till, you know, to about two or three weeks, and he'll probably return with one of those Phantom of the Opera masks.
What a look that's going to be with his haircut.
With a pineapple haircut, should be quite a good look.
Oh dear.
He just needs a cape and then he'll be
wearing his... wearing his underwear on the outside of his shorts as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. Maybe he'll be the saviour that we need to get us out of the shizen if we fail to win the next couple of games or so. James Chester, though, is back in training. This is the thing. I think he's so far down the pecking order now that it's almost irrelevant.
I mean, we've discussed before, haven't we? I think we both agreed he's what, fifth choice now, probably?
Yeah.
Does he even make the bench? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, personally, obviously, it's good for him to be back. But yeah, in the context of does it improve us, I think it is pretty irrelevant. Yeah,
it makes us probably no better or no worse. He's not pound for pound, you're not bringing in a proven Premier League, you know, superstar centre-back.
Speaking of Marvellous, the Codger destroyer, Nakamba, do you think he's going to make the bench this time? It's been a slow burn getting him up to match fitness, and obviously the crew game helped a big bunch, and I think he's there now. So thing is, Lansbury's been impressing, so do you think Nakamba makes the bench at least against West Ham?
He might start because Luiz has been away in Brazil, hasn't he? So I think if Smith's had full 10 days or so on the training ground with him, getting him accustomed to, you know, the rest of the midfield, obviously McGinn won't have trained and Hourihan won't, but if Marvellous has had time on the training field and Luiz hasn't been there, I think it might even be that Luiz finds himself rested. You know, Lansbury should be reasonably fresh. Hourihan put in a stint at left back, I think it was. So whether or not he's going to be a starter or not, I don't know. But I would personally think he might be ahead of Luiz to start.
Well, I mean, if he is the one that is promised, the like Kante type madman running around closing people down, then West Ham, they're growing as an attacking force at the moment. And I mean, they've won the last two games, drew the one before that after getting thumped 5-0 by Manchester City. And they do, I mean, they're very open at the back. Obviously, they probably spent the international break working on the defence, but Villa will have to address their attacking threat, and that's where Marvellous may come in. And I think it's probably a good point. You know, it's a good call in terms of him starting in Luiz, resting up after his Brazilian trips.
I think
trips.
With, you know, they've got the Arsenal game, you know, not soon after, but and then they've got obviously Brighton close after that, so I think they'll all be rotating a little bit over the next 2-3 weeks anyway.
Yeah, Pellegrini, I think he's potentially got a team that's I mean, I kind of want West Ham to get relegated
just because of the stadium. I hate the fact that our tax dollars pay for their ground and they've done a piss poor job of it as well.
Yeah, I did a bet with a West Ham fan who's, well, he's more of a friend of a friend. When we were in the Premier League, one night we went to some gig and we came back and we got talking football and we had a bet, a single malt whiskey, bottle of good single malt whiskey, of who would finish the highest in the season to come. It was the season Villa got relegated.
Oops.
I haven't seen him since. So that's one reason I wanted them to get relegated. So if I ever see this guy again, I can say, well, come on, you know, West Ham in the Championship. We'll call it, you know, void. But anyway, what did Pellegrini say about Villa? He said they bought a lot of good players and they play an attacking style. I think they're doing well. They must adapt to the Premier League still, but they have a very good team and a manager that wants to play in an attacking way. I think if he's seen us, I think he'll know that we're potentially vulnerable on the counter, because, I mean, his team pretty sharp on the counter, must admit.
It's very easy to say nice things about Villa at the moment, isn't it? Oh, they play nice football, they're well set up, but will he secretly be saying, do you know what, we can hurt these? Yeah, of course he will.
Yeah, I mean, Villa have got a good record against West Ham, actually. I mean, I shouldn't be saying this. Obviously, in the last 18 home games, these are stats that you've pulled up. Last 18 home games against West Ham, only lost two. One in February 2014 when we lost 2-0, and then 2-1 defeat in 2006. So we've won eight, drawn eight, lost two. Would you be, I mean, obviously we want to go for a win here. I mean, if we beat Everton and West Ham, and we actually did that in that Sherwood season.
Yeah, remember, it was just at the end of the season, wasn't it?
14 straight.
Yeah, we went
15.
On that really good run in April with the semi-final, and we beat West Ham, beat Everton, and I think did we go to Spurs as well and won? We had some really impressive wins in that run.
Yeah, but we didn't manage to beat Spurs.
No, we did not.
Around. But the similar couplet of beating Everton and West Ham in successive home games would go down very well, actually. I mean, a point wouldn't be the end of the world, to be honest. It would be good to take something, because at the moment it's not panic stations, but if we lost another home game, then suddenly you're thinking this may be a long season.
I think as well, with, you know, you've got West Ham, one of those teams that you'd look at and go, well, you'd kind of hope you'd get a positive result, especially with Burnley to come, who you'd think the same about. And all of a sudden you get a little bit of momentum in your home games. You know, with Arsenal to come, you know, another tough away trip, it would take a little bit of the pressure off going to the Emirates, feeling that they have to get something. You know, they can treat away games like that as a bit of a bonus. Whereas I actually think we can turn West Ham over.
Yeah, I would be thinking that if it was on a Saturday, but the fact that it's on a Monday night, I mean, our Monday night form is a shocker. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. I mean, having just won one of the last 16 Premier League games on a Monday night, drawing five, losing 10. And the one we did win, I mean, I always remember that game because it was the one we hammered Sunderland 6-1. In a do or die clash in April. That was a game where we really had to win and we turned up big style. But I've been quite impressed by Sebastian Haller. I mean, he's averaging a goal a game.
He looks like a good signing, doesn't it? There's been a lot of comparison with him and Wesley. I mean, it looks like West Ham, you know, relatively speaking, a good quality European striker for 44 million. If he's going to score you goals, that's, I don't know, is it the going rate? It's probably still under what you'd expect to pay, you know, with some of the sums of money flying around at the moment.
Because Frankfurt had a good season and it was, you know, largely down to his goals. Yeah.
I think they're just a tidy team, aren't they? They've got some good midfield players. I like Felipe Anderson. I think he's a really good player. Noble's solid in the middle. You know, if Wilshere turns upon his day, he can be a good player. Lanzini's a really good player. Obviously, you know, Robert Snodgrass returning to Villa Park, who you'd imagine would get a good reception, won't he?
He's only started one of the four games so far, but he has come on as a sub in two games as well. So we'll probably see him if he doesn't start at some stage, I would imagine. And yes, you're right, he would get a good reception.
Unlike one Ryan Frederick.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
the stamp from the playoff final.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I mean, I remember because we played him in pre-season straight afterwards, didn't we? And I remember he got a barrage of abuse then. In obviously, you know, yeah, I think the best got because it was very tight to the touchlines where they were warming up, and he got both barrels.
Yeah, I think it's because I just blocked that game out of
probably
my mind.
Probably for the best.
Anyway, that was just a quick catch-up on various things. I mean, the one thing about West Ham Villa have decided is they're doing this Get There Early, which is basically an initiative to, I think they're reducing like beer prices like 30-odd percent. I think it's only for the first 30 minutes when the concourse is open. So from 6:30 to 7:00, you can get I think like Amstel's like £3 rather than £4.50. And Purit is reduced as well by £1 and a bit.
I think I'll just do my usual get there before 15 minutes before kickoff though.
Yeah, same here. I mean, you can't tempt me in with cheaper beer.
30% off beer just doesn't work it for me.
Especially when it's £10 or whatever it is per pint in the first place.
And you have to queue for about an hour.
But if you're in the area, I suppose.
You're coming straight from work. Fair enough.
Yeah. Right, so we will be back next week with a proper show. We just wanted, because it's been a couple of weeks, we just wanted a quick catch up on various Villa related topics. We'll do a patron show about other related generals football stuff that may or may not relate to Villa. Please do become a patron and support the show, and because we will now be cranking regular bonus episodes. Go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the patron link to check out the details there. Please do follow the show on Spotify, iTunes, and all the other apps that you may be listening to. And until next time, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.